Would you pray with me? Father, this morning as we continue to worship you, Lord, you reign above us. You are sovereign. Lord, your feathers aren't ruffled by a time change. You're not sleepy. And Father, you are different than us. You are holy. You are set apart. And this morning we come for one purpose, and that is to worship you. Father, we are a needy people, and as I was watching people come in this morning, there are so many needs and circumstantial needs, health, relationships. And Lord, you're aware of all of them. You are at work in the midst of our circumstances. Lord, I ask that we would be a people that live by faith, that when our eyes want to look at our circumstances, that we would raise them up. Father, I thank you for the new members that you are bringing to this body. Lord, I thank you for those that have been here a long time. Lord, I ask that you would be knitting us together, that you would be integrating us, that Lord, that you would use us to advance the kingdom here, Trinity and Lafayette. Lord, this morning as we study the spiritual gifts, as we look at a character who exemplifies your heart well, Lord, may our ears be attuned. May your spirit speak to us where we are at. May your word ring true. And may I decrease, and may you increase. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I commented that I needed a rock. Someone brought me a rock so the pages don't blow. Thank you. I'm figuring it out this morning. My wife and I, in a season past, were both interviewers for missionaries that were looking to be placed in apartment communities in major metropolitan cities in the U.S. And Catherine was the first to do these interviews, and later on I followed in her footsteps. But what we would do is we would take a couple to Panera, and we had a set list of questions, and we just wanted to get to know them. Wanted to hear their heart, how they came to know Jesus, a couple other things. And one of the questions was, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Well, Catherine would come home from these interviews, and I was always kind of curious. I was like, how did it go? And there was one time she said, well, this one was interesting. I said, why? You know, we like weird, right? Why? What was interesting about it? And she said, well, I got to the place where I asked the couple about their spiritual giftedness, and I asked the lady, and I don't remember what she said. She gave a spiritual gift, and then I turned to the guy, and I said, what's your spiritual gift? And he said, computer programming. I said, really? She said, yeah. And my wife's not a milquetoast by any means of the imagination. She pushes in. So I said, did you push him on that? Because I don't think Jesus had a laptop and their C++ hadn't happened yet. Fortran, that dates me, all of that. So, wow, I feel old. And so I said, what'd you say? And she goes, oh, yeah. I asked him, I said, listen, computer programming, that is an amazing ability that God's given you. And man, that's awesome. And you can use that. But do you know what your spiritual gift is? And she kind of threw some out, and it's not a big deal if you don't know your spiritual gift, but a little haughtily, he looked back at her and he said, it's computer programming. I said, what'd you do? She said, I backed off. You know, God has given us, you and me, many neat talents and abilities, aptitudes. They all come from him. But we shouldn't confuse these with a spiritual ability, a spiritual gift that you and I, as followers of Christ, were given when we came to Christ. They were gifts from Him. Over the next couple weeks, actually four, we are going to be having a sermon series called Engage. Had someone come up after the service and said, "Engaging Cajuns." I like that. We may use that. And we're going to look at the spiritual gifts, and we're trying to take a deep dive, so there's several facets. One, when you come in on Sunday, we're going to look at the big picture of spiritual gifts. Out on the welcome desk, we've got a couple things. We killed some trees. We've got this card. Grab it. It's a neat opportunity for you. You can take a gift assessment, and listen, assessments are just that. They won't necessarily pay you, but it's a helpful tool. You can take it online. I thought I had better take it. I took it. It's really good. It won't take you long. And if you want, once you take the assessment, we have the coolest of the cool that are going to be counselors, kind of like coaches. And over the next 2 weeks, there are so many slots. And if you want to come in and just have it, they're good question askers. They want to process with you, like who God's made you to be and what would it look like to engage your spiritual gift at Trinity. You can sign up using this here. So this again is out on the welcome desk. You can grab it. We'll have it each week. Also, where the small group guides were on your left when you go out, each week there's going to be a short personal Bible study. It's not long. Take you about 15, 20 minutes to go through it. There are four passages where the spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament. We're not preaching on any of the four. Each week, we're going to give you a Bible study, and you can dig in deeper on your own. But this morning, it's neat to know your abilities and your aptitudes, and even if you may know your spiritual gift, but it's even more important that you and I have the right heart when we come to engage our spiritual gift. So this morning, I want to look at how do we engage the spiritual gifts rightly. I'd like to give you a definition. Just hang with me. We got to do a little preemptive backdrop. Definition. A spiritual gift is a charisma. That is the word. Charisma. It is a grace or a gift given by the Spirit when you come to faith in Jesus for the building up of the church and the glorification of the Lord. One more time. A spiritual gift is given by the Spirit when you come to faith in Jesus for the building up of the church to the glory of the Lord. This morning, I want to look at three guiding principles for our hearts, and I want to look at an unlikely character, the character of John the Baptist. So if you would, pull up on your phone or turn with me to John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 22 to 36 and see three guiding principles for our hearts on this, a time change Sunday. Starting in verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. The people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, Jesus, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." Verse 31, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is on the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of these he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Three guiding principles when it comes to spiritual gifts. First, they are not from you and me. They are not from you and me. You and I have many natural abilities, talents, resources, and they are God-given. But your spiritual gift is given at salvation. Let's talk a little big picture here. First, we know the Holy Spirit as the third member of the Trinity. He is the one who actually, he saves us. He seals us. We saw that in Ephesians. We see the fruit of the Spirit, that when we manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Did I miss any? When we do that, that's the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit coming out of our lives. And Jesus talked plenty about the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, that it would come, that he would send the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Spirit would be a comforter to us, an advocate, that we would never be alone, that he would bring to mind what Christ said in the moment, that he would give us words to speak. As we continue in the New Testament, we see that there are four places where the spiritual gifts are spoken of. And since it's Time Change Sunday, I'm going to make you talk to me just on this Sunday, okay? Keep you here. Okay. Spiritual gifts are, I'm going to help you remember where they're found in the New Testament. So 12:12:4:4. Okay, everybody, ready? 12:12:4:4. Come on. Okay, ready? 12:12:4:4. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. 12:12:4:4. That is where the New Testament talks. One more time. All right, everybody. I'll do it in order. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Now you guys are going to get me. 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4. 12:12, 3 Paul, 1 Peter. The spiritual gifts, every time they're mentioned in the New Testament, it's always about building up the body. They are for, Ephesians says, the edification of the believer. Of the believer, the equipping of the saints. And you know, our abilities, including computer programming, I went to school with some computer programming people, geniuses, gifts from the Lord, but not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are awesome. One's cool, the other is awesome. I like what J.I. Packer says. It says, among the variety of God's gifts, because all gifts are from the Lord, some are natural abilities and character qualities that are sanctified, while others correspond to nothing that was previously seen in the person's life before they came to Christ. Well, why are we looking at John? That's a fair question. You know, John would not have had a spiritual gift in the sense that you and I did. But do you know what John does demonstrate? John had the right heart. He had the right heart. And he has the right attitude. Look at verse 27. Remember the context. Jesus has hit the scene. Remember, John's job was to point toward Jesus. Hey, everybody, Jesus is coming. That's John's job in a nutshell. Jesus shows up. People are flocking to Jesus. And some of John's disciples come up and they're like, hey, rabbi, teacher, where's everybody going? Are you concerned? Is the question. Like, go fight for your people. You know, careful, you're losing your bit of the turf here. Look at 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him by heaven. In verse 25 and 26, his disciples are worried. John's losing popularity. He's losing his followers. You remember that Andrew and Peter, they had been connected to John and they have shifted to Jesus, just to name two. What I like about John in verse 27 and 28 is we see that John knew his place, himself, and the Lord. He says, guys, this isn't about me. Like that platform that I had, it was from the Lord, for the Lord. It was from him. You know what I really like about John? Out of all the New Testament, Jesus gives an amazing endorsement to John after his death. Listen, Matthew 11, 11. John's talking. Jesus is talking about John. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. But do you remember what he says afterwards? He says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You understand, we are advancing the kingdom. We are in. Jesus, in holding up John, sets the stage for, we are the least that will be greater. And we have something that John didn't have. You and I have a spiritual gift given by Christ to build up his body. It's important we have the right heart. And as we kick off a sermon series and this initiative with spiritual gifts, it's okay if you ask the question, what's my gift? Like we have to have language, right, to access things. But we got to be careful with our heart, because if we make it my gift and mine, we've totally missed it. It's not mine, but it's his. It's not look at me, it's make much of him. Each, as followers of Christ, have a gift, and it's a gift with a purpose, Ephesians 4 says, for building up the body, equipping the saints, unity in love. And each plays a part. Remember, I said 12, 12, 4, 4. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives two examples of what the gifts look like. He uses two images. And the first is a symphony. The word is symphoron. That when you and I show up and we engage with the body, that we are playing a part in the symphony. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to a symphony? I haven't been to a ton, but when I go to a symphony, I don't go to hear the solos. You can hear a lot of people play things. Like, I want to hear the whole shooting match. I want to hear a section of violins. I want a snare drum. I want it all. The louder, the better. And wouldn't it be weird to go to a symphony and there in the where the first chair violinist should sit, it's just empty. You'd be like, what the heck? I paid to come to a symphony. Or maybe the little guy that plays the chime in the back, you know, I'm the triangle player, you know. If you're an SNL fan, the cowbell, right? Okay. You're part of the symphony. And if you don't show up, it sits. And Paul uses symphony in a positive light. It's what a grand thing. There is no symphony by yourself. It's a we thing. Like, yeah, and it's really awesome. You can't go anywhere else and find a symphony. He then uses a negative example, but he uses another positive imagery, and that's of a body, a whole body. And he's talking about that if one part of the body is sick, that the whole body is sick. I was thinking about this. Some of you may or may not know, I'm missing the tip of my middle finger. Actually, it's about half. I'm part of the nub club in the smallest way. Okay? when I cut my finger off, I had never thought about the tip of my middle finger in my life. You all know what you use the tip of your middle finger for, right? No, it's for digging like dimes and lint. I don't know where your minds were going, but you know, when you go down to dig for something and you're missing the tip, you don't find it. Like, you need it all the way, okay? And you know, the day I cut off my middle finger, I didn't go for my normal 3-mile run. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't go to work. What did I do with my middle finger that had 30 stitches in it? I laid in bed and wanted to die. Like the biggest baby, ask Catherine, the biggest baby ever. Like, I was like, more narcos, please. Like, I was sweating, like my forehead. Yeah, you just, you know, major trauma. The whole body hurts. And Paul's point is, when you or I decide to go to the sideline or we don't engage, the body is not healthy. That is how important, even if you're playing the triangle, especially the triangle, your gift is to this local body. Scripture says it. You see, three guiding principles for our heart. It's not from us, and not only that, it's not for us. It's not for us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus' glory. Look at verses 29 and 30. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, when you and I engage our spiritual gift, it's never about us. And there will be phenomenal power because of the backer of that gift. And instead of being in fight or flight, you will feel like you were in the, like, I was made to do this. The flow. You know what else your gift brings when you and I engage it? It brings joy to the individual. There is nothing more fun in what I do than when I run into individuals on a Sunday morning or out and about when they are doing Christ's work for the body and they're in their sweet spot with the gift. They look at me and they're like, I love this. Like, I can do this all day. You could, and you're so good at it. They are to make much of Jesus. Look at the joy. John in 29 says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him, rejoices, there's joy, greatly because of the bridegroom. So this joy has been made full. It's interesting that John gives an example, like the disciples are all like, hey, you're losing it. He's like, no, I'm at the party. And it's not my party. Like, I'm there for Jesus. You know, as a pastor, I get to do weddings. And do you know the number one goal of the pastor in prepping a wedding? It's not to get any of the spotlight. Like, you just want, they're like, I don't even remember. Was there a pastor there? Someone got up and said something. It's all about the bride and groom. And who goes to a reception or an after party and takes the spotlight off the bride and groom? Like, the rest of the room would be like, they're an idiot. Like, get them out of here. That's what he's talking. He's like, hey guys, look, it was never about me. It was about Jesus. And I'm happy for him. May all the disciples go. Joy despite circumstances. Think of John the Baptist's circumstance. He's losing his identity. He's losing his ministry. He's about ready to go into prison and lose his autonomy. He's going to lose his very life. Circumstances don't look good. And yet, he can be like, I'm fine. Actually, I'm great. I have joy. You see, there is joy in engaging God's call. And you and I as believers are called to engage our spiritual gift. Our purpose, our design is to be used for Jesus. It's like a wedding party and we're his friends. You know, I find that about half of those that follow Jesus can articulate what their spiritual gift is, which isn't bad. Some just are like, you know, I'm not sure. Some are like, no, I'm pretty sure this is it. But it's really just jumping in where the needs are. John hears he's at the party, and apparently the need is for Jesus to have followers, and he sends them. He shows up. He looks to give it back to Jesus. When Catherine and I got married, tons of details. I'm a detailed person, and we missed a detail. The morning I was getting up and putting on my bow tie and all that, Catherine was getting ready. We had the reception place was booked. We were doing it on the frugal side, so we had borrowed a bunch of books for centerpieces. That time we didn't own any books. We thought that sounded kind of cool. So we got a bunch of books borrowed. We forgot to ask anyone to set everything out. So everybody's at the church, and we had asked a friend of ours to do the music and to MC, real talented guitar player, singer. And she and her mom, true artist, showed up early to get their stuff set. And they walked in, and there was nothing but ugly tables set out. No tablecloths, nothing. And they were like, are we at the right place? And they hunted down the box stuff in the corner that had been delivered but not set out. And then they spent the next 30 minutes setting up everything with no instructions. And as the story goes, I never knew this till months later. Like, the wedding went off with a hitch. My mother-in-law made the comment that these two, right about when the service started, came rushing in, and they were all disheveled, and they didn't know what was going on. They were all discombobulated. You know, that's the kind of people that I want to come and worship with on a Sunday. Not ones that show up and say, hey, let's make it about me. Ones that show up and say, hey, what is the need here? Because I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fill it. It's a party. We've been invited to it. It's all about Jesus. John here in verse 30, one of my favorite verses, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. John had a special call from birth. He was the one to have the spirit of Elijah on him. He was given disciples, and now he's given them away. He's heading toward prison. And John can look, and actually, right here on the podium, it's inscribed, he must increase, but I must decrease. That should be all of our postures when we show up to the party. We should note, it's not a diminishment of personality. John was extremely charismatic. Honey, locusts, camel skin, desert. He was who he was, but he brought all of it to the table. But when we're given a spiritual gift, we have a platform to shine light back on our Savior in a unique way. And we have power. We should also remember that power is perfected in weakness. And there will be seasons where circumstances are bad or the situation is not right. And we tend to want to say, oh, well, I'm going to pull back and I'm not going to engage because of this or that, or I'm just not feeling it. And the power never came from us when it comes to our spiritual gift. We are called to engage. He provides. You know, if we use the terms me and my too much, what ends up happening? If we say me, that's about increasing. We come and we say, what's in it for me? And we become consumers. And I'm afraid that in the culture we live in, we tend to drift toward consumerism. We show up to Christ and we say, hey, Christ, what's in it for me? If we use the words my way, my plan, we tend to spectate, don't we? We pull back. It's not about others, but we pull back. and we begin to criticize the me's and the my's. It's as if there is a game going on and you got players and coaches. You know who yells the most at the sporting events, right? It's the fans that aren't playing or coaching who know better. And yet it's those in the game that give their best and they give all they can give. The antidote to feisty, curmudgeon, miserable followers: decrease self. Run harder after Jesus. Unlock joy, power, peace, purpose, so much. What if I don't have a title or a position? What if I don't know my spiritual gift? You know, if you and I show up with the attitude, I'd like to be used, you'll be used. If we are engaging with the body, despite our circumstances, if we're looking to unify, our gifts will be present and energized. What do? We keep giving it back. It's easy to slip into me and my. We're all capable of it. Any given Sunday, I can come in here and up here and here, it can be about me. And the question is, am I like, no, wait a minute, Lord, it's about you. One has phenomenal power. The other one will putt out eventually. We keep giving it back. The Spirit is not for rent. You know, in the book of Acts, the apostles are doing their thing. There's a guy named Simon. He's like, hey, can I give you money for that? He liked the power. It didn't go down well. Not only are they not for rent, the Spirit is not for show. Saw a fabulous movie. I'd recommend it to you. I went and saw Jesus Revolution. So any of you that lived through the late 60s and 70s, it'd be nostalgic. I had to call my dad and ask him what it was all about. But in the movie, there's a character. There's two main characters. One of them's name's Lonnie. And he's young and he's charismatic and he's chasing after Jesus. And God uses he and another guy to in ways to prime a movement that impacted a generation for Christ. It's interesting in the movie. Lonnie begins to struggle with making it about him and not about Jesus. It became a show instead of about the Savior. Our spiritual gifts, three guiding principles. First, they are not from us. Second, they are not for us. We are to keep giving them back. And last, they are not fueled by us. At the end of this passage, John's mopping up and he, verse 31 to 33, talks about Jesus' witness. And in verse 34, he talks about the Spirit. 35 and 36, he continues. Look at 34. John says, for he who God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. I like that. Gives the Spirit without measure. How do we invite that? Humility and meekness. You know, the definition of meekness is power under control. John the Baptist as a character, meekness. This whole passage, you see his posture of humility. Hey, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I like what Isaiah 66:3 says. God speaks. He says, I, Yahweh, have spoken. I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart, who tremble at my word. It's not what is my gift, but what is God's will? That's the question. It's not when asked. I hear all the time, well, I would engage if I was asked, like if you asked me, pastor, if a ministry. That's just not true. That's a smokescreen. The onus in Scripture to engage for the sake of Christ is never on someone else. It is on us individually. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about their walk with Christ, and someone, and I said, look, you can't walk someone else's walk. And when it comes to engagement in the body, this is our body. We are the parts. It's not when asked, but it's put me in the game. Put me in the game. I like what Hudson Taylor said, the quote's in your bulletin. I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up by asking him to do his work through me. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be challenged over and over to be engaging Cajuns, to engage with the body. And you know, in 1 Peter 4, which is one of the passages, it boils the gifts down real simply. There are serve gifts and there are speak gifts. It's not too complex. Serve and speak, and basically all the gifts can fall under those two. If you hate speaking, it's probably serving. If you hate serving, it's probably speaking. But it's never in the context of you and I being a consumer. Instead, we are to be a constant networker. Hey, how can I deploy? How can I bring this to bear for the sake of Jesus? A thought. God gives the Spirit to those who participate, not those who spectate. It is for the participant. And I like here it says, without measure. There is no end to how God can use us for his body. We sell it way too short. You and I have more power than we know. Some of you have the gift of mercy. What an amazing gift. Some it's service, helps, giving, teaching, leading, exhorting, encouraging, evangelizing, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, faith, administration. I got news for you. I'm going to weird you out as a non-denominational Bible church. Ready? Y'all are the charismatics. The word's charisma, charismata. We have the gifts of the Spirit. Not from us, not for us, but fueled by him. Oswald Chambers says, the commands of God are enabling. God banks entirely on his own Spirit. And when we attempt, his abilities are granted immediately. We have a good deal more power than we know. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to continue to look at the amazing spiritual gifts. You have an opportunity, and again, you can grab one of the cards. Take the survey. It's just a tool. It doesn't necessarily peg you, but it may be a help. Consider meeting with one of a coach-like consultant. They're just good question askers that would love to facilitate and ask you questions and draw out who God has made you to be. Take 15 minutes and go through each of the four Bible studies just to understand better what does Scripture say about the spiritual gifts. But at the end of the day, play your part. Jump in. Put me in, coach. Wherever. You understand the coach is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's not about you and me. It's about us. Us. His body. And Christ in us. I have many prayers for Trinity that I pray consistently for us as a body. I pray for many of you individually, but for the body, one of my prayers is that when people come to Trinity for the first time and they just experience you, not this, but you, that if I would run into them and they don't even know who I am and I hear that they had been at Trinity and I'd say, well, what did you think? That they would say something like this. It's just unbelievable. It was like every member was a minister. You are. Don't ever forget it. It's a beautiful gift that was bought by his blood and given specifically to you for us. Engage in Cajuns. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It is so clear. And Lord, your gifts are so good. And yet when it comes to the spiritual gifts, there is so much there for us. And it's there we find in a unique way your power and your presence in us. We realized how loved we are. There is no gift that is small. They are great and weighty because they are playing a bigger part. And Lord, I ask for me. Lord, would you forgive me when it becomes about me or my, and my heart does a subtle shift? Lord, we want it to be about you. And Lord, I ask for this body. I ask for our family. Lord, we haven't even come close to tapping the potential of who we are, because there is no limit to it. And Lord, I know there are individuals here this morning that are on the sideline. Father, there are individuals whose hearts are locked up. There are individuals who say, Lord, I can't. Lord, we have new members. May they not be the ones to say, I can't, but may they be bold and jump in. And may that remind some of us that that's the name of the game. Lord, when you nudge us, would you be, and you are so gentle and gracious. Lord, you take us right where we're at. Lord, I ask that you would bring people off the sidelines and that you would bring them off the benches. That your power would be manifested in us. And that Jesus' name would be glorified. It's in the name above all names we pray. Amen.
Y'all will stand with us as we close in worship this morning.